Senate will please come to order on the 96th legislative day. Will the members please vote to signify their presence? Please stand for the invocation by today's chaplain, Senator Ulick.
Okay, let us pray. Let the reign of divine truth, life, and love be established in us and rule out of us all sin. And may our word enrich the affections of all mankind and govern them. Amen.
Senator Fakes, please lead us in the pledge this morning.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Senator Adams.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread on the journal, that the chaplain's fees be waived and donated to Glory Hole.
Without objection. Secretary, please certify the journal.
I wish to certify as the correctness of the journal for the 95th legislative day.
Senator Halford.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal be approved and certified by the Senate Secretary for the 95th legislative day.
Without objection, the journal is approved and certified. We'll skip introduction of guests today. Messages from the governor.
Message dated May 13. Dear Senator Kelly, it has come to my attention that the transmittal letter appearing at page 1132 of the 1989 Senate Journal for Senate Bill number 270 relating to dispute resolution for certain public employees, etc., contains an error in the second paragraph. The first point of description in that paragraph regarding Class 1 employees describes an earlier version of the bill. It should simply be deleted. I would suggest that this letter also be printed in the journal to avoid confusing researchers on this point. Thank you. Signed, Governor Cooper. Message is dated April 13. Dear Senator Kelly, on this date, I have signed the following bill and am transmitting the engrossed and enrolled copies to the Lieutenant Governor's Office for Permanent Filing, Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 91, Judiciary, relating to methods of appointment to the Alaska Public Offices Commission and providing for an effective date is Chapter 14, SLA 1989. I have read the following resolutions and am transmitting the engrossed and enrolled copies to the Lieutenant Governor's Office for Permanent Filing, Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Concurrent Resolution Number 12, Transportation, relating to the Alaska Marine Highway System Master Plan, Legislative Resolve Number 15, and House Committee Substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 31, Resources, relating to the bycatch of halibut by domestic fisheries and an onboard observer program, Legislative Resolve Number 16. Those are all of the messages from the governor.
Will the secretary please note the presence in the chambers of Senators Sturgeluski and Frank. Messages from the House.
Message dated April 13. Mr. President, the House has passed Committee Substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 15, ITT, supporting bilateral aviation agreements to better promote international tourism and the movement of cargo through the Alaska International Airport System with the following amendment. House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 15, Foreign Trade, and it is transmitted for consideration.
Senator Halford.
I move that the Senate concur in the House amendments to Committee Substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 15, International Trade, thus adopting House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 15, Foreign Trade.
Any discussion? The question is, shall the Senate concur in House amendments to House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 15, Foreign Trade? Members may proceed to vote. All members voted. Secretary will block the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So the Senate has concurred in House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 15, Foreign Trade, by a vote of 14 yeas and no nays.
Messages dated April 13. Mr. President, the House has passed the following and they are transmitted for consideration. Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 139, Finance, by the Finance Committee, entitled An Act Relating to Payments for Purchases by School Districts and Municipalities and Providing for an Effective Date.
Okay. Community and Regional Affairs, Health, Education, Social Services, Finance.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 141, Finance, by the Finance Committee. An act relating to tobacco and products containing tobacco.
Committee Regional Affairs, Finance.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 223, Judiciary, by the Judiciary Committee, entitled An Act Authorizing Municipal Clerks to take Oaths, Affirmations, and Acknowledgements.
Community Regional Affairs.
House Bill Number 264, amended by the Rules Committee by request for the Health Care Cost Containment Task Force, an act relating to the state exemption from certain insurance premium taxes and providing for an effective date.
Labor and Commerce.
Those are all the messages from the House.
Communications.
The Office of the Senate Secretary has received the following budget and audit reports. A report on the Department of Labor Data Processing General Application Controls. A report of the Department of Commerce and Economic Development for the fiscal year ended June 30, 1987. And a report on the Department of Fish and Game for the fiscal year ended June 30, 1987. Those are all of the communications.
Reports to standing committees.
The Finance Committee has considered Senate Bill 92, Motor Vehicles and Related Functions of the Department of Public Safety and Department of Commerce and Economic Development, effective date, and recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 92, Finance, new title, and majority do pass. The report was signed by Senators Ewing and Binkley, co-chairs, and concurred in by Senators Yaroff, Duncan, and Frank. Zero fiscal note attached. Senate Bill 92 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
The Finance Committee considered Senate Bill 155, Transfer of Certain Alcoholic Beverage Licenses, effective date, and majority recommend do pass. The report was signed by Senator Ewing and Binkley, co-chairs, and concurred in by Senators Zaroff, Duncan, and Frank. Previous zero fiscal note attached. Senate Bill 155 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
Community and Regional Affairs Committee considered Senate Bill 268, Municipal Financing and Municipal Joint Insurance Arrangements, the Alaska Municipal Bond Bank Authority, effective date, and majority do pass. The report was signed by Senator Adams, chair, concurred in by Senators Frank and Szymanski. Senator Porchot signed no recommendation. Senate Bill 268 has a further referral to the Labor and Commerce Committee. The Community and Regional Affairs Committee considered Committee Substitute for House Bill 29, Labor and Commerce Amended, establishing the Alaska Racing Commission and authorizing pari-mutuel wagering at sanctioned events, effective date, and reports it back as follows. Senator Adams, chair, signed do not pass. Senators Porchot, Frank, and Pierce signed no recommendation. Senator Szymanski signed do pass. Previous zero fiscal note and fiscal note attached. Committee Substitute for House Bill 29, Labor and Commerce Amended, has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. The Finance Committee considered House Bill 63, State Board of Parole, effective date, and a majority do pass. The report was signed by Senator Binkley, co-chair, and concurred in by Senators Zaroff, Duncan, Ewing, and Frank. Previous zero fiscal note attached. House Bill 63 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
The Senate Special Committee on Oil and Gas considered Senate Bill 271, Civil Penalties for the Unpermitted Discharge of Uncontaminated Crude Oil and for the Failure to Implement an Oil Discharge Contingency Plan in response to an unpermitted discharge of uncontaminated crude oil, and recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 271 by the Oil and Gas Committee, and reports it back as follows. The report was signed by Senator Pierce, chair, and concurred in by Senator Kelly. Senators Halford and Adams signed no recommendation. Fiscal note attached. Senate Bill 271 has a further referral to the Resources Committee. The Senate Special Committee on Oil and Gas considered Senate Bill 277, establishing a panel to investigate the Valdez oil discharge disaster and to recommend changes needed to minimize the possibility and effects of similar oil discharges, effective date, and recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 277, Oil and Gas, and majority do new title and majority do pass. The report was signed by Senator Pierce, chair, and concurred by Senators Halford, Adams, and Kelly. Fiscal note attached. Senate Bill 277 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Senate Special Committee on Oil and Gas considered Committee Substitute for House Bill 68, Judiciary Amended, liability for the release of or threatened release of hazardous substance, recovery of state costs for an oil or hazardous substance release, liability of response action contractors, effective date, and recommends it be replaced with Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 68, Judiciary by the Oil and Gas Committee. And majority have no reports back without recommendation. The report was signed by Senator Pierce, Chair, and concurred in by Senators Halford and Adams. Senator Kelly signed do pass. Zero fiscal note attached. Committee substitute for House Bill 68 Judiciary Amended has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. The Rules Committee considered Senate Bill 96, compensation for, penalties against, and proceeds, fees, forms, and reports transmitted by agents who sell or collect fees for certain licenses, tags, and permits effective date. Senate Bill 94, limiting liability for certain activities for the Alaska National Guard. Senate Bill 172, extending the termination date of the Special Education Service Agency effective date. Senate Bill 250, confidentiality of research conducted by the University of Alaska. House Bill 156, unused airline tickets effective date. And Senate Concurrent Resolution 15, hydrogeological surveys on the Kenai Peninsula and reports and recommends calendar. The reports were signed by Senator Sergulewski, Chair, and concurred in by Senators Eliason, Tortula, and Kelly. Senate Bill 96, Senate Bill 94, Senate Bill 172, Senate Bill 250, House Bill 156, and Senate Concurrent Resolution 15 are all on today's calendar. Those are all of the standing committee reports.
Reports of special committees?
There are no reports from special committees.
Introduction of Senate resolutions?
There are no Senate resolutions.
Introduction of Senate bills?
Sponsor substitute for Senate Bill number 223 by Senators Binkley and Duncan, entitled An Act Establishing a State Education Policy Relating to Powers and Duties of School Districts, the Department of Education, and the State Board of Education with respect to education planning and planning grants, requiring regional school boards to establish and consult with advisory boards authorizing certification of Alaska Native language or culture teachers, and providing for an effective date.
Health, Education, Social Services, Finance.
Senate Bill number 278 by Senator Curtula, entitled An Act Relating to Education for Exceptional Children.
Health, Education, Social Services.
Senate Bill number 279 by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, entitled An Act Establishing the Alaska Racing Commission and Authorizing Off-Track Paramutual Wagering and Providing for an Effective Date.
Community and Regional Affairs, Judiciary, Finance.
Those are all of the bills for introduction.
That brings us to consideration of the day in the calendar. Will the Secretary please read the first item of business?
Senate Bill number 94 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act limiting liability for certain activities of the Alaska National Guard. State Affairs Committee considered the bill. Majority Committee recommends to pass. The report was signed by Senator Burchell, Chair, concurring Senators Adams, Fakes, and Kelly. Fiscal note attached. Judiciary Committee considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 94, Judiciary, new title, and reports the back as follows. Senator Fakes and Halford signed due pass. Senators Zemanski, Pierce, and Rohde signed no recommendation. Fiscal note. Finance Committee considered the bill and recommends the Judiciary Committee Substitute be adopted and due pass. Report was signed by Senators Julian and Binkley, co-chairs, concurring. Senators Frank, Pierce, and Fisher, zero fiscal note and fiscal note attached. Rules Committee considered the bill and recommends calendaring. Report was signed by Senators Sterzulewski, Chair, concurring. Senators Elias and Curtula and Kelly. There's a Judiciary CS.
Senator Fakes.
Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the Judiciary Committee substitute for Senate Bill 94.
Without objection, the Judiciary Committee substitute is adopted.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 94, Judiciary, by the Judiciary Committee, an act limiting civil liability for certain activities of the Alaska National Guard.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Senator Halford.
I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for Senate Bill 94, Judiciary, be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, placed on final passage.
Without objection, committee substitute for Senate Bill 94, Judiciary, is in third reading.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 94, Judiciary, an act limiting civil liability for certain activities of the Alaska National Guard.
Any discussion? Question being, shall committee substitute for Senate Bill 94, Judiciary, pass the Senate. Members may proceed to vote. All members voted. Senator Curtula? Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote, and so committee substitute for Senate Bill 94, Judiciary, passes the Senate by a vote of 15 yeas and no nays.
Senate Bill number 96 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, An act relating to compensation for penalties against and proceeds fees, forms, and reports transmitted by agents who sell or collect fees for certain licenses, tags, and permits, and providing for an effective date. Resources Committee considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 96. Resources, new title, and majority do pass. Report was signed by Senator Fahrenkamp, Chair, concurring. Senators Krutula, Eliason, and Sturgiluski. Senators Halford and Frank signed no recommendation. Zero fiscal note attached. Finance Committee considered the bill and recommends the Resources Committee Substitute be adopted. The majority do pass. The report was signed by Senator Ewing, Co-Chair, concurring. Senator Jaroff, Pierce, and Fisher. Senators Duncan and Frank signed no recommendation. Previous zero fiscal note. Rules Committee considered the bill and recommends calendaring. Report was signed by Senator Strzelczewski, Chair, concurring. Senators Eliason, Krutula, and Kelly. There's a resource to see this.
Senator Strzelczewski.
Yes, I would move and ask unanimous consent that the Resources Committee substitute be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, the Resources Committee substitute is adopted.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 96, Resources, by the Resources Committee, an act relating to compensation for penalties against, duties of, and proceeds, fees, forms, and reports transmitted by agents who sell or collect fees for certain licenses, tags, and permits, and providing for an effective date.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendment.
Senator Halford?
Thank you. I have a question that I would hope somebody might be able to answer. Last year, and I believe possibly even the year before, we had legislation that dealt with changing the fee structure in all licensed vendors for fish and game. And that was fairly hotly contested. I believe it passed one house and didn't pass the other. It looks to me as if this title would permit that amendment in the other house. And for that reason, I'm somewhat concerned. I got a title amendment drafted. I haven't offered it, and I'm not sure that it works because this title does amend some of the things that deal so closely with the fee questions. But,
Mr. Chairman, we have a Senate will stand at ease. Order. Are there any amendments?
Amendment number one by Senator Halford to page one, line six, and this has been distributed.
Senator Halford.
I move amendment number one, which is to the title, and ask unanimous consent.
Without objection, amendment number one is adopted. Any further amendments?
I have no further amendments.
Senator Halford.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the Resource Committee substitute for Senate Bill 95, title amended, be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, and place in the final passage.
Without objection, committee substitute for Senate Bill 96, resources as amended, is in third reading.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 96, Resources, title amended, an act relating to penalties against duties of agents who sell or collect fees for certain license tags and permits, requiring reports and proceeds to be received before compensation is paid to agents who sell certain license tags and permits, repealing the duties of and compensation for agents who assist in completing forms for interim use and entry permits, and providing for an effective date.
Are there any amendments? Oops, that's not the question. Is there any discussion? Question being, shall the Senate pass committee substitute for Senate Bill 96, resources as amended? Members may proceed to vote. All members voted. Secretary will lock the roll. If any senator wishes to change her or his vote, the secretary will record the vote. So committee substitute for Senate Bill 96, resources as amended, passes the Senate by 16 yeas and no nays. Senator Halford.
I move and ask unanimous consent to roll call and final passage of committee substitute for Senate Bill 96, resources amended, be considered the roll call and the effective date clause.
Without objection, the effective date clause passes. Senator Strzelczewski.
Yes. Mr. President, I'll give notice of reconsideration on committee substitute for Senate Bill 96, resources amended, so we can check the title.
Notice of reconsideration is given.
Senate Bill number 172 by Senator Jaroff, Duncan, Ewing, Brody, and Sturgiluski, an act extending the termination date of the Special Education Service Agency and providing for an effective date. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered the bill and recommends due pass. Report was signed by Senator Fisher, Chair, concurring. Senators Kelly, Jones, and Duncan, and recommends a letter of intent and a zero fiscal note. Finance Committee considered the bill and recommends due pass. Report was signed by Senators Ewing, Binkley, co-chairs, concurring. Senators Jaroff, Duncan, Fisher, Pearson, Frank. The Finance Committee also recommends the Hess Letter of Intent attached to the fiscal note. Rules Committee considered the bill and recommends calendaring. The report was signed by Senator Strzelczewski, Chair, concurring Senators Eliason, Kurtulla, and Kelly.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendment.
Senator Halford.
I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 172 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, Senate Bill 172 is in third reading.
Senate Bill Number 172, an act extending the termination date of the Special Education Service Agency and providing for an effective...
Is there any discussion? Question being, shall the Senate pass Senate Bill 172? Members may proceed to vote. Let's void that vote. There is a letter of intent. Senator Halford.
I move and ask unanimous consent the Senate adopt the Senate Hess Committee letter of intent for Senate Bill 172.
Is there any objection? Hess Committee letter of intent is adopted. The question before the body is, shall the Senate pass Senate Bill 172? Members may proceed to vote. All members voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Secretary will record the vote, and so Senate Bill 172 passes the Senate by a vote of 16 yeas and no nays. Senator Halford.
I move to ask unanimous consent to roll call and final passage of Senate Bill 172 to consider the roll call and the effective date clause.
Without objection, the effective date clause is adopted.
Senate Bill Number 250 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to the confidentiality of research conducted by the University of Alaska. State Affairs Committee considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 250 State Affairs and majority do pass. Report was signed by Senator Pershaw, Chair, concurring Senators Fakes and Kelly. Senator Adams signed no recommendation. Zero fiscal note attached. Rules Committee considered the bill and recommends calendaring. The report was signed by Senator Strzelczewski, Chair, concurring Senators Kurtulla, Eliason, and Kelly. There's a State Affairs here.
We have a State Affairs substitute and no chairman. Senator Adams.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 250 State Affairs be adopted.
There is an objection. Senator Ewing.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a question in regard to the State Affairs committee substitute. I understand the chairman isn't here, but maybe someone else can explain it. It has to do with the public meetings requirement, and I just wonder if anybody had any response to why we're putting public meetings requirement in there. I understand that there's a need to go ahead and have a records inspection requirement, but the public meetings requirement, are they going to be exempted from the public meetings law of some sort, and what would be the reason for that?
Senator Fakes.
I can't remember.
Yes, sir, that is correct, and that's the purpose of this legislation. We're only one of few states in the United States that does not have specific exemptions for research or have received legal interpretations of their existing laws that define public information only as that information which has been published. Oregon just recently passed an exemption in 1987 that simply states, and I quote, writings prepared by or under the direction of faculty of public educational institutions in connection with research until publicly released, copyrighted, or patented shall be exempt from public disclosure law. So that is the purpose of this legislation, to bring us into conformity with the rest of the states. Arizona, California, Washington, Nevada, and Oregon, all West Coast states, all have very specific exemptions for research in their statutes from their public meetings requirements and public information requirements. And this is standard procedure. The Attorney General in this state says they cannot give a legal interpretation to exempt research without this particular law.
The objection maintained? Without objection, the committee substitute for Senate Bill 250 State Affairs is adopted.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 250 State Affairs by the State Affairs Committee, an act relating to the confidentiality of research conducted by the University of Alaska.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendment.
Senator Halford.
Just a question before I advance the bill. Does this in any way limit the ability of the legislature to know how much is being funded by private entities in research through the University of Alaska? It looks like the identity of the person or entity financing the research, the person performing the research, and the title of the project is public information. Is the amount of money public information?
Senator Fakes.
Yes, sir. The university publishes on a regular basis all research projects, how much it is and where they're going and where they're coming from. So that is public information. It's in the budget. They are not exempt from the Executive Budget Act. All of that is public information.
Senator Halford, third reading.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the State Affairs Committee substitute for Senate Bill 250 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, placed on final passage.
Without objection, committee substitute for Senate Bill 250, State Affairs, is in third reading.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 250, State Affairs, an act relating to the confidentiality of research conducted by the University of Alaska.
Any discussion?
Question.
Question being, shall committee substitute for Senate Bill 250, State Affairs, pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. If all members voted, Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote, and so committee substitute for Senate Bill 250, State Affairs, passes the Senate by a vote of 16 yeas and no nays.
House Bill number 156 by Representative Cato, an act relating to unused airline tickets and providing for effective date. Transportation Committee considered the bill and recommends due pass. The report was signed by Senator Jones, Chair, concurring Senators Coghill, Fakes, Pershaw, and Fahrenkamp, previous zero fiscal note. Rules Committee considered the bill and recommends calendaring. The report was signed by Senator Strzelewski, Chair, concurring Senators Kelly, Kurtula, and Eliason.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Senator Halford.
I move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 156 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, House Bill 156 is in third reading.
House Bill number 156, an act relating to unused airline tickets and providing for an effective date.
Is there any discussion? Senator Ewing.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Just a question on here. I noticed there's a clause on line 10 having to do with going back retroactively back to September 7th, 1986, and I was wondering why we were going back on the retroactive clause and who would be actually be picking up there. We're going to be refunding some, you know, tickets to some people that were missed or something.
Senator Jones?
Mr. President, the Transportation Committee heard this bill, and it's understanding that last year we passed a bill that excluded unused airline tickets from the statute, the unclaimed property tax statute. When we did that, we put one company in a box. They're the only company that's been making a payment to the Department of Revenue on these unused tickets. So we passed it. It was effective 1988. The statute was passed in 1966. They've been making these payments for 2 years. So they have money in there, and they like it back. They talked to the Department of Revenue, and the department looked at it, and it was their decision. They would have to go out and audit every airline in the state for the past 2 years and look at all the records, and to do that would actually cost more money to perform that audit than to return the payments back to the airlines that had been making the payments. So we're now asking to go back to 1986. It'll take care of the problem, and Department of Revenue agrees with it. I urge your support.
Senator Halford.
And then, is there only one airline that turned in unused airline tickets?
Senator Jones.
Yes, that's my understanding that is correct. Just one airline.
Further discussion, Senator Fakes.
Stand at ease, sir.
Senate will stand at ease. Back to order. We have before us House Bill 156 in third reading. Is there further discussion? Question being, shall the Senate pass House Bill 156? Members may proceed to vote. If all members voted, Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote, so House Bill 156 passes the Senate by a vote of 16 yeas and no nays. Senator Halford.
I move
Move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call and final passage of House Bill 156 be considered the roll call and the effective date clause.
Without objection, the effective date clause is adopted. Senator Ewling.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would give notice of reconsideration on my vote on House Bill 156.
Reconsideration is given.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 15 by Senators Zemanski, Kutula, and Fisher relating to hydrogeological surveys on the Kenai Peninsula. Committee on Regional Affairs Committee considered the resolution. The chair of the committee recommends to pass. The report was signed by Senator Adams, Chair, concurring. Senator Zemanski and Pershaw. Senators Pierce and Frank signed no recommendation. Zero fiscal note attached. Resources Committee considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with committee substitute. Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 15, Resources, and reports it back as follows. Senator Fehrenkamp signed do pass bill, question fiscal note. Senators Strzelewski, Eliason, and Kurtula signed do pass. Senators Frank and Halford signed pass only with zero fiscal note. Senator Zharoff signed no recommendation. Zero fiscal note and fiscal note attached. Finance Committee considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 15 and majority do pass. Report was signed by Senators Ewling and Binkley, co-chairs, concurring. Senators Frank, Pearson, Fisher, zero fiscal note and fiscal note attached. Rules Committee considered the resolution and recommends calendaring. Report was signed by Senator Strzelewski, Chair, concurring. Senators Kurtula, Eliason, and Kelly. There are two committee substitutes.
Senator Ewling.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for Senate concurrent Resolution 15 Finance be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, Finance Committee substitute is adopted.
Committee substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 15, Finance by the Finance Committee, relating to hydrogeological surveys in the Kenai Peninsula.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendment.
Senator Halford? The bill is in front of us for consideration. Is there any discussion? Senator Coghill.
Mr. President, I would like to ask a question of the Finance Committee that the fiscal note that you have, it says zero all the way across because it says this project is included in the 1990 budget. But if you go back to the original fiscal note, which is on 321, it shows that there is going to be a fiscal impact over the years. Is that correct?
Senator Ewling.
Thank you, Mr. President. That is exactly correct. The Finance Committee had significant amount of testimony up in the committee in regard to what the department was doing. They made essentially on the fiscal note, they went ahead and put a zero fiscal note on there because we felt it could be absorbed within the department and that they were working on it and there was no need to hire more employees and so on.
Senator Halford.
The funding for the project is included in the FY90 budget. Of course, there is no FY90 budget, and that just seems like a strange terminology. But I do note that the Finance Committee substitute says that in the resolve clause, consistent with department priorities. So if the department weren't going to do it anyway, they wouldn't be picking it up and doing it because of this resolution. So it may be fine, but I think a statement that the project is included in the budget that isn't passed yet probably isn't exactly what we wanted to say.
Senator Coghill.
Mr. President, the reason why I brought it up, Mr. President, and the I'm not opposed to the hydrogeological surveying on the Kenai Peninsula, but there are other areas in the state that this is going on right now, and I'm wondering if what we're going to do is that we're going to be targeting into that area now and diminishing the concerns that they have in the Tanana Valley. I know that they're doing some work over in the Copper Valley, and if that's the case, is this new fiscal note or the old fiscal note mean that they needed to have another $100,000 in the budget for each one of those years in order to accomplish the project, or are they going to take from what the hydrological programs are doing in the Mat-Su Valley and the Tanana Valley? That's, I guess, my biggest concern.
Senator Szymanski.
Thank you. I appreciate the remarks and the concerns by the senator from Indiana, because I share his concern that we probably have not done as much as we should do with regard to knowing what we're doing with the hydrological characteristics of the state of Alaska and all parts of Alaska, not just Kenai Peninsula. This resolution was drafted because, as you can tell in the first whereas clause, the communities of the Nikiski, Kenai, Soldotna, and surrounding communities have had extensive, and I say extensive, oil and gas, chemical, industrial activities. The largest exporter of LNG is from the Nikiski area. It's our two major refinery operations in the area. And consistently, what we're finding is that when originally industry was developed in the Kenai Peninsula, there was a small population that started to creep in on industry. And areas which people never envisioned being developed or utilized in the past are now being utilized by the public. And there's a real concern as to whether or not we really know and know what the groundwater characteristics are. We've had some baseline data from the past, but the industry predominantly has done a lot of that work. What's happened recently is the industry and the community have collectively come together and tried to resolve some of the conflicts in trying to determine whether or not we can see further expansion or development in the area, to determine whether or not the existing wells and existing water systems are receiving forms of contamination and are being impacted. We've also had pit areas, areas which have been previously used for discharge of drilling muds and so forth, which have developed a characteristic in the aquifer system that many people have no idea how far reaching they're moving. So from my perspective, I certainly appreciate your concern, and I hope that we would be able to expand it into other areas as well. I appreciate the confidence of the Finance Committee. I was received assurance in Finance Committee that the funding would be there this year to be able to support this activity, and based on that, had no problem with the way they adjusted the fiscal note. You've got to trust our leaders in the Finance Committee at some time, and I've got a lot of confidence in them.
Senator Fake, speaking of trust.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, thank you, Mr. President. My question is, does the Department of Natural Resources have a priority listing of projects that they're working on for hydrological information, and does this resolution any way change that priority order to bounce this area of the state ahead of others that might be on that list?
Senator Curtula.
I do know that DEC has put a tremendous effort down the Kenai, and I believe that they are giving it substantial support starting last year. Again, when you pass legislation, you do it all the time, you adopt bills, and then in portion of the budget, provide funding for those bills that have been adopted. And this would be one of those circumstances if it's not directly in the operating budget.
Senator Coghill.
Mr. President, I think we got apples and oranges here, though, and I have no problem with what the people and the sponsors of the concurrent resolution are trying to accomplish, but what we're doing is we're running a directive here, and we're saying quit the program that what the hydrogeological survey system actually does in the state, and that's to track underground water. And for not only for commercial but for residential use, and it's a way of tracking the underground water streams. And what we're doing here is that we're taking and making a priority now that they're going to quit doing that and they're going to go into tracking contamination. And if that's the case, maybe we need to get the other agencies that are responsible for that involved in it. I'm just afraid that all of the people that we've got going in the expanding area around North Pole and the expanding area that we've got now I know that they're going to be doing some work for the backscatter. Are they going to stop all of that to go down and do this? And how much money is in the budget? And is there going to be $100,000 a year for the next eon years to go down there and do the Nikiski. Let's say, I think we got apples and oranges here, and I'm concerned about it.
Senator Szymanski.
I'm confident if we pass this resolution, we're going to have the money in the budget. And I'm confident that the commitment that people have put forth, otherwise, if it's not going to be there, you're going to hear me have a real difficult time supporting a budget based on the good faith that people have given to me that this has been reviewed. I was told by the chairman of the subcommittee in that area that they've reviewed this budgetary area, that there's financial, the finances are there and the wherewithal to carry on this program and continue it. I agree with the senator from Nenana. This does set a priority. I don't want to mislead him. It does set a priority, but it's not necessarily to track contaminants as much as to track the aquifer characteristics. What they find and what they're evaluating will not necessarily be done by geological, this department, the Geological Survey. It's going to be done by ultimately DEC and the industry who will see the information and be a part of it. But there's a lot of distrust, if you want to say, with regard to the industry out there right now. The industry could walk in tomorrow with extensive profiles, and I'm not too sure you're going to get a whole lot of believers. They've had some credibility problems lately, and that's one of the major problems the people are having in that area.
Senator Fakes.
Thank you, sir. Here's my problem, and it's a little different than from the problem of the Senator of Nenana's. The Rules Chairman and I and other members of the delegation from the hillside in Anchorage have been funding for several years hydrological surveys of the groundwater on the hillside. And we've had over 400 wells go dry, and I mean it's a major problem that the city of Anchorage is working with the DEC and the Department of Natural Resources with. We've had hotlines, I mean we've had people registering their wells, and it's an ongoing political as well as physical issue for Senator Sterdlewski and I on the hillside. And I just want to know from a senator representing a section of this state that has tremendous groundwater problems, who is working with the department, who we know the department has been underfunded in this area, if this resolution is going to change the priorities of DEC in respect to Senator Sterdlewski's in my district. We have a drinking water problem. It could be a severe drinking water problem. Senator Sterdlewski and I have had to fund these studies out of our capital accounts for the last couple of years. And now is the junior senator from the donut telling me that he's been promised by the finance chair that his funding, which will not come out of his capital account, will be appearing in the budget? If that's the case, then I think Senator Sterdlewski and I deserve the same treatment.
Senator, please stand at ease. Senator, we'll come back to order. Senator Ewing.
President, under debate, in due consideration of the subcommittee chairman who is out of town, possibly be best to hold the bill until Monday.
Monday's calendar. Senator Alford.
We move and ask unanimous consent. We hold CS for Senate concurrent resolution 15 for Monday's calendar.
Without objection, Senate concurrent resolution 15 is on Monday calendar. Senator Alford. The reconsideration on CS for Senate Bill 258.
I take up the reconsideration of Senate Bill 258 at this time.
We have in front of us Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 258, Finance.
Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 258, Finance, an act relating to state exemption from certain insurance premium tax and providing for an effective date.
Senator Crawford.
The House companion bill came over while this was under reconsideration, so I would move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 258 be returned to the Rules Committee.
Without objection, Senate Bill 258 is returned to the Rules Committee. Brings us down to unfinished business. Under unfinished business, upon request, I'll give an additional referral to House Bill 70, extending the Board of Pharmacy relating to pharmaceutical medical assistance for needy persons to the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. Further unfinished business. Senator Rohde.
I would bring up my reconsideration of Senate Bill 207, an act relating to liens on real property to secure payment for services provided by utility owned by a municipality.
We have in front of us Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 207, CRNA. Senator Adams.
Mr. President, I would move at this time that Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 207, CRA, be held over till Monday. because of the fact that there are four members that are absent that wish to participate in the debate on reconsideration.
Without objection, committee substitute for Senate Bill 207, CRNA, will be held at Monday's calendar. Senator Adams.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the five-day rule be waived so that SJR number 38 relating to housing programs of the United States Department of Housing and Urban Development can be heard in CRA committee on Tuesday, April 18th at 3:30.
Without objection, motion passes. Further unfinished business? Senator Halford, would you move us back to reports of special committees, please?
I move and ask unanimous consent. Senate move to reports of special committees.
Without objection.
The Senate Special Committee on Oil and Gas considered Senate Bill number 260, levying a severance tax on oil effective date, and recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for Senate Bill number 260, oil and gas, and reports it back without recommendation. Report was signed by Senator Pierce, Chair, concurring Senators Halford and Kelly. Senator Adams signed a recommendation, 20 cents a barrel. Fiscal note attached. Senate Bill number 260 has a further referral to the Resources Committee.
Further unfinished business. Senator Halford.
Unanimous consent with a citation honoring Manuel Norat, taken up as a special order of business at this time.
Without objection.
Honoring Manuel Norat by Representatives Boucher, Senators Strzelewski and Rohde.
Senator Halford.
I move and ask unanimous consent the citation be approved by the Senate.
Without objection, citation is approved. Senator Coghill.
We have at ease, Mr. President.
Senator will stand at ease. To order, Senator Eliason.
Mr. President, could we return to the introduction of guests?
Without objection, return to the introduction of guests.
Mr. President, in the Ziegler Gallery behind me, we have two of my constituents from Metlakatla, the members of City Council, Ted Littlefield and Tom Guthrie. Welcome.
Unfinished business, Senator Coghill.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from the call of the Senate on Saturday the 22nd, as I understand it, the family of Terry Miller will be holding a memorial service at the university that day.
Senator Curtula, without objection, Senator Coghill is excused. Senator Curtula.
President, I move that I be excused from call of the House next Saturday. I presume that's the 22nd. And also on this coming Monday, I expect to be here, but I haven't had too good luck getting back into town, so I move the excuse from the call of the House.
Without objection, Senator Curtula is excused. I will at this time appoint Senators Curtula, Coghill, and Pierce as the official Senate representatives to the Senator Miller services. Senator Ewing.
Mr. President, just a question for the chair. Are we going to have session next Saturday or not?
There is plans to have session next Saturday. Right now we have excused Senators Fahrenkamp, Eliason, Coghill, Pierce, and Curtula. Nobody else can leave town.
Can we have a brief
Senator
Binkley?
Senate will stand at ease. Order. Is there any further unfinished business? Announcements. Senator Strzelewski.
Yes, two meetings. Rules today, Butrovich Room 115, SB 239, Healthcare Review Committee. SB 251, University Adjudicative Proceedings, HB 63, continuing the State Board of Parole, SB 155, Transfer of Alcoholic Beverage Licenses. And there will additionally be a resources meeting at 1:30 in the absence of the chair and the vice chair. The senator from Fairbanks has asked me to chair the meeting. We do have four bills we'd like to get on their way, HJR 32, deferred drilling in the North Aleutian Basin, Senate Bill 184, Redoubt Bay Critical Habitat Area, SB 227, inherited home site entry permits, and SJR 39, support of NPS Alaska Science Initiative.
Further announcements, Senator Eliason.
Mr. President, Labor and Commerce will meet this afternoon. We're scheduled for 3:30, but I would like to try to meet at 3 o'clock if possible. I think resources might be done by then. At 3 o'clock in the Belts Room, we'd be taking up Senate Bill number 249, an act relating to Alaska Industrial Development Export Authority, and Senate Bill Number 259, an act relating to insurance guarantee funds, changing Rule 62A, Rules of Civil Procedure, and providing for effective date, and House Bill Number 25, an act relating to irradiated food. That's at 3 o'clock on the bells.
Senator Euling.
Brief, please.
Federal Standard. One announcement, it would appear that all 20 members will be present on Tuesday, so we'll plan on our class picture next Tuesday. Additionally, the Senate Finance Committee co-chairman indicates that if you don't have your bills to his committee by next Friday, it's probably going to look like next year. So, better get cracking. Senator Fakes.
Mr. President, for some of us, the bills being in finance has made absolutely no difference at all, sir.
Any further announcements? Special orders. Senator Halford.
I move and ask unanimous consent I be given the privilege of the floor under special orders to discuss a newspaper article.
You have the floor, Senator.
Thank you. On Wednesday, there was an article in the Anchorage Times entitled Leaders Dismiss Survey. Now, usually it's those of us who didn't get to slant the questions in our way that end up wanting to dismiss the results of a survey. But in this case, it seems to be the survey that was funded by the Senate, the House, and the governor, and I had some problem with what I thought was the slant of the questions. But in any case, the answers came back clearly saying, cut the budget. In terms of what people said, this cost the state about $50,000 plus the calculation and everything, but people said strongly, cut the budget. The area they said cut first by the highest percentage statewide was power cost equalization. 68% said cut power cost equalization. In the second area they said to cut, 64%, 2-1, said cut aid to local governments. Number three, statewide, they said cut loan programs. Number four, they said by a substantial margin still cut business development. Number five was surprising to me, but they said cut the University of Alaska by a substantial margin. Number six was cut transportation. Number seven was cut natural resources. Number eight was cut health and social services. They said do not cut education, environmental protection, public protection. They clearly said leave the permanent fund alone, no matter how you tried to ask the question. When they said reserves, leave it alone. When they said cap the dividends, leave it alone. Cut the dividends, leave it alone. The answer is leave the reserves alone. I think we should listen to what the people are saying. I think we should cut the budget. I think we should look very clearly at their priorities. I happen to agree with their concern for education, public protection, environmental protection. And by the way, most of these results came in before the oil spill. But I think it's important that we listen to what they had to say. It's interesting, some would discount it and say there's a very small return. But pollster David Dittman said, it's the people that care that send them back. They're also the people that vote. So it may be a very high correlation to the actual electorate. Thank you.
Senator Szymanski.
Thank you. I'd move and ask unanimous consent under special orders. I've given the privilege to speak on one ignorant oil company.
You have the floor, Senator.
Thank you. I've zeroed in on one oil company, and I picked up, and I think it's appropriate to term them ignorant because they obviously are not that knowledgeable of what they were talking about. The definition under caused by showing lack of knowledge or education, I think is appropriate to ARCO Alaska. ARCO Alaska sent their representative, Bill Wade, as president, sent Mr. Hugh Motley down, the vice president, to testify before the Oil and Gas Committee last night. And let me put it in comparison. We had Alaska Pipeline, we had British Petroleum, Alaska, we had Exxon there. And I have to be candid with you, I didn't necessarily accept all of their testimony, but I didn't take the message that I received from them to be one of ignorance. I think that they were coming from an enlightened perspective. One, because they have been involved, because they have had an opportunity to understand what is going on in the state of Alaska, and they're certainly more sensitive to what the legislature is going through. I took ARCO Alaska's, Bill Wade's presentation to be arrogant testimony, insensitive to the public of Alaska, and certainly to this legislature. When in the testimony, I see them come out with a statement that Senate Bill 260 only duplicates existing financial safeguards. It does nothing to reduce the risk of a recurrence or improve oil spill response capability. Senate Bill 260, let me remind you, it's a bill introduced by my colleague from the MATSU, Senator Tula, with a specific purpose to appropriate funds into an existing fund that has a very specific purpose, that the legislature finds and declares that the release of oil and hazardous substance into the environment presents a real and substantial threat to the public and health, welfare, and environment, economy of the state of Alaska. The legislature therefore concludes that it is the best interest of the state of Alaska citizens to provide a readily available fund for the payment of expenses incurred by the Department of Environmental Conservation in the protection of the environment of the state of Alaska. Well, let me tell you, that ignorant oil company has had its last opportunity to play what I call politics and think that they're going to use the power of oil to control legislation. I think they've had their way for a long time, to be candid with you. And I think they've had a tremendous influence on the process. I think that they've had the opportunity to rape the state of Alaska, maximize their profit, and in many cases, showed little regard for the people of the state of Alaska. You can obviously feel that maybe I'm shocked, chagrined, feeling that maybe ARCO feels that for some reason the tax that we're imposing of 5 cents a barrel, as they put in their testimony, the bill could severely impact economically marginal fields in Cook Inlet and North Slope. Fields so marginal that they are currently assessed little or no production tax by the state. Well, let me tell you, those are the same words I've heard from ARCO and many other industry representatives in the past, as they've said, back off. Back off and don't protect the state's interest. Take care of ARCO first. Well, let me tell you that that 5 cent a barrel means little or nothing when you look at the fact that when the tanker went aground, the price of oil was at $18.03. Today's price is approximately $19.16, and it's varying around over $19 a barrel today. A nickel is insignificant. And to hear the crybabying coming back from what I would have assumed to be a responsible oil company in the past, ARCO Alaska, makes absolutely no sense to me at all. And I'm not going to put up with it. And as the Commissioner of Revenue said the other day, the people of Alaska are mad as hell, and they're not going to take it anymore. And let me assure you, I'm in the same category. I'm not going to take it anymore. I'm not going to listen to them. I don't want to sit in a room with them. And until the president of ARCO comes down here and starts putting on a responsible presentation to represent his company, I think he ought to keep his people away from Juneau. Because those lobbyists are the same ones that have been down here for years walking around doing the soft shoe routine saying, don't worry about it, you're going to have no problems from us. They're the same ones that say, don't tax us, don't kill off the golden goose. Well, look out, ARCO, because if I could target them without hitting the others, I'd certainly reach down there and nail them today.
Senator Cotula.
On the same subject, move and ask unanimous consent.
You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, it is unbelievable the pressures that were placed upon by Alyeska upon the community that offered to provide the storage and even the booms. The bottom line was obvious with the operational interests of Alyeska Pipeline, and of course, ARCO is one of the principals, not the only one that was the beneficiary. I would think all of the oil companies that own Alyeska Pipeline would be very concerned about that management and its bottom lines at this moment and be right on in providing the necessary response capability in Prince William Sound and the rest of Alaska. What I wish to speak to, though, is
I believe the ARCO Civic Action Committee now individual members have become lobbyists. Not lobbyists for broad perspective of Alaska interests, but they've sat down there and told me to cut education, cut these programs, get bottom lines so that we don't have to provide the necessary funding to support this state. And I believe I'm going to run a quick investigation into the law and what is going on here and what is required of lobbyists' registration. I frankly believe they've come perilously close if they haven't broken the line on what is lobbying and what you have to do to register and why you must register as lobbyists. I think the individuals and collectively the ARCO Civic Action Group has now become a lobbyist and ought to be registered as such. Thank you.
Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I speak on the survey such as the majority leader spoke on, very briefly. A couple of other things that weren't mentioned in that survey, and I don't have it in front of me, but as I recall, the response on changing the economic limit factor was something like 56% in favor of changing the economic limit factor. I just talked with the Deputy Chief of Staff to the governor yesterday afternoon late. He said I could quote him and refer to him. Since the oil spill, those surveys continue to come in, and right now it's running 90% in favor of changing the economic limit factor of the surveys that have come in since the oil spill. Just thought members might like to know that.
Senator Jones.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that I be allowed the privilege of the floor to speak on closed meetings.
You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, I understand yesterday there was a meeting of several senators. Now, if it wasn't closed, I don't know if it was open, closed, or secret, but I didn't get an invitation, I know that. And I understand that the topic of discussion was the Rail Belt Energy Fund and capital projects in the areas of these senators, how it could be divided up. If that's the case, there's a lot of other senators in this body that are also concerned about capital projects and where the funds are going to come from for those projects. And I would suggest that whatever came out of that meeting be shared with the rest of the body and the public. I think that if we're going to talk about open meetings, people want to see open meetings, I think this is the place to start. And kind of upsets me that we're talking about splitting up pots of money in this state for certain districts and leaving the other ones out. Thank you.
Senator Coghill.
President, I move and ask unanimous consent that I be allowed to speak on the same subject.
You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, following the good senator from Ketchikan and his remarks about a closed meeting, it's my understanding, and of course, lots of rumors go around in the Capitol building during the last few days of the session, and we're down. This is number 24 tomorrow. The clock's ticking. Tomorrow will be 23 days left, and I haven't seen any concrete business being done as far as the budget's concerned. I understand that the caucuses now are open. I've had my aide there. The thing is that it was disturbing to me to understand that there was a group of senators met yesterday afternoon in closed session at 4:00 to discuss the Rail Belt Energy Fund and the disposition of the Rail Belt Energy Fund. And I want, I represent, Mr. Chairman, out of the 365 miles of railroad, well, I represent about 140 miles of that rail belt, and it's my understanding that there was a lot of discussion done on it. I was not invited. I think that if we're going to talk about sectional portions of the state that have an appropriation edge, which I think that the Rail Belt Energy does because it was set there as a portion of the energy program for that section of Alaska, that all of the senators from the Rail Belt should have been invited. Thank you.
For the special orders, Senator Jaroff.
Thank you, Mr. President. Privilege of the floor to speak on wanton waste.
You have the floor, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. In yesterday's Anchorage Daily News, there was an article that brought to my attention again the concern that that we have. And the article is was entitled "Former Worker Logs Huge Waste of Pollock Cod." Well, Mr. President, prior to the oil spill in the Prince William Sound, we had another topic that was hitting the newspapers and was very much concerned, and that was the factory trawler fleet, about 11 vessels that moved into the Gulf, which is basically off of Kodiak Island, had moved in and had taken up the balance of the pollock quota in the Gulf area, meaning there that there were basically no quota left for the remainder of the year. And this quota runs basically from January to December. And the factory trawler fleet that moved in there had basically taken up the balance of the 60,000 metric ton quota that was available. And up until that time, the fishing fleet from Kodiak, supplying the shore-based processors, employing roughly 1,000 people, had taken about 22 metric tons. And when this factory trawler fleet of 11 vessels moved in, they took up the remaining 37 metric tons. Well, that's probably not... Well, I guess it is bad in that sense, but I guess the saddest thing about this, and a reminder from this article here, was the row stripping that went on. And they didn't utilize the whole carcass. Now, when the product is brought ashore, there's virtually 100% utilization, all the way from the row right on down to the fish meal that is made in the reduction plant. And out there on the high seas, it was more profitable to just virtually strip the roe out. And it was at this time of the year when the pollock were getting ready to spawn. And they came in there and virtually took roughly 81 million pounds. Now, if you convert the 37 metric tons to pounds, they took virtually 81 million pounds of product out of the ocean. And the best guess is that when you row strip, that a fair percentage of utilization is about 5% of the fish. This means that they've discarded almost 95% of that total amount. And when you read articles of what is happening with these factory trawlers out there, where they're virtually discarding a protein product that is a useful product just simply because the economics say that they can get $5 a pound for the roe and roughly $1 a pound for the rest of the meat, you know, that's not right. And I've made this point clear to the advisory panel on the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council, that if we're going to keep this resource around for many years, that we have to start managing for the resource and not the economics of the resource. And I think probably what upsets me more than anything else is that in meeting with people around Kodiak, that the factory trawlers made a threat. They said that we are going to come down to Kodiak and we are going to take this quota, and we're going to put you guys out of business. You know, people thought serious of this, but they didn't think that this would happen. But it did happen. And it's a sad state of affairs when something like this happens, because Kodiak, as we all have known, and we've watched right through these oil spill days, that when Kodiak was threatened, what was the headline? Kodiak, or the nation's number one fishing port, all the way through. Now, I don't know what the impact of this is going to be. And I suppose the long-term impact is going to be difficult to measure, just as that oil spill is difficult to measure at this time. But I guess I am concerned very much about the wanton waste of what is happening out there, and we need to get a handle on this. Kodiak has met, and we have come up with some recommendations. One, we need 100% observer coverage out there on all of this fisheries. I think that's the only way we're going to know what's happening out there. That is the only way we're going to get a complete handle on what is going on. All right. Not only that, we need to require a full 100% utilization of what is caught out there, and that means doing away with row stripping. If you take that fish, utilize it to the greatest extent possible. All right. And then I think we need to take a look at another aspect of it, the domestic utilization. Shore plants don't have the flexibility of moving around. You know, this is something there that this factory fleet was able to do. They left the Bering Sea, moved into the Gulf, basically stripped out that resource there, and then moved westward. They are continuing to make profits out there at the expense of Alaskan residents, Alaskan communities, and shore-based facilities. Mr. President, I don't know what we can do. We've sent messages back east. We've talked to people about this. I think it's a major concern when we're looking at the world population now and the demand for the protein that's available, and to have this type of waste going on. I think we have got to be the laughing stock of the entire world, people that are involved with fisheries, because what we have demanded of the foreigners in the past that fish these 200-mile limits, we have not allowed that. But we have allowed, since Americanization, and I'm not against Americanization, but we have allowed our own American fishermen to do this dreadful thing. And I'm very much concerned about it. I know people are as well, that are familiar with the subject. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention, and I'm sure we're going to hear about it again. Thank you.
I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent I be allowed to speak on the same topic.
You have the floor, Senator.
I'd like to strongly associate with the senator from Kodiak's remarks. And the thing that really is a coup d'etat on this, they have gone to court, that is the Seattle-based factory trawlers, to attempt to get the limit of allowable catch from the Bering Sea and ground fish raised from 2 million metric tons a year to 2.7 million metric tons so that they can obviously have an allowable catch much greater than is currently available. And it's going to be one of those things we're going to see. It's happened off of the North Atlantic coast, off the coast of China, you name it. The pressure comes. We have no observers out there. I think it's a serious matter. I know some of the issues raised by the good senator are being addressed by the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council, but we've got to stop. They're managing our fishery down there by exploitation.
For the special order, Senator Ewing.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to revert to the introduction.
Without objection, revert to introduction of guests. Senator, as a former member of this body, we extend the privilege of the floor to you, if you'd like to say a few words.
I would respectfully decline.
Yeah. Further special orders. Senator Halford.
I move and ask unanimous consent. The Senate stand and adjourn until 11 a.m. Monday.
Without objection, the Senate stand and adjourn.